Well, we're joined today with Abby Johnson, also Father Dave Nix, and Timothy Gordon. We're going to talk about some of the recent events in our nation regarding the pro-life cause. We're joined by Abby Johnson. Of course, everyone knows who she is. She was a clinic director for Planned Parenthood, had a massive conversion. The book Unplanned is a national bestseller, and of course, she's depicted in this extremely popular film that's been all over the world in the nation, Unplanned. So, Abby Johnson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So you can't see Abby Johnson because she's on audio, but we'll have her picture there. And I think, Father Dave, you have a good lead-off question for Abby, if you want to kick it off.
Yeah, Abby, you know, I was just wondering if you believe Unplanned had an effect on those recent states' bans and restrictions on abortion. Obviously, the book came out, I think it was about 7 years ago, but it was only the past year the movie came out, and I think a lot more people may have seen the movie than the book. Do you think that was maybe at least the straw that broke the camel's back there?
Well, I mean, we can hope. I know in Georgia, it was pretty influential. The day that they were actually passing the vote, or voting on the heartbeat bill, they actually played a clip of the ultrasound guided abortion on the floor for the members to view before they made their vote. And you know, people said that certainly made a difference and swayed opinions. So, you know, the truth wins in the end. And you know, our film is really what we're trying to do is really expose the truth of abortion. And so, I mean, I hope that it has had some effect on the laws that we're seeing being passed right now.
God be praised.
Yeah.
Hi, Abby. This is Tim here. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you if, looking at the face of this thing, AB 314, it's not clear to me whether or not the law criminalizes the act of seeking an abortion in addition to the act of performing an abortion, quote unquote, medically. Lots, if not, we'll take this as a sort of conspicuous absence. What do you know what it does? And if it doesn't do this, why not?
You know, I've talked to some legislators, some lawmakers, people who are sort of experts on this. Everything that I'm being told is that these bills, these heartbeat bills only punish providers of abortions and not women seeking out abortion services. If that was the case, that women were actually the ones that were being criminalized, these wouldn't be bills that I would support. But I do support criminalizing the providers of abortion services and their ancillary staff who actually help perform the abortions. So, you know, I mean, there's the actual law and then there's the spirit of the law. And from what I'm understanding, the spirit of the law is not to punish women who are actively seeking out abortion services.
Okay. Yeah. So for clarity's sake, you don't support criminalizing seeking an abortion. You don't think that's a criminal act?
I don't believe that we punish victims. And I believe that women are secondary victims to our abortion culture. Now, down the road, you know, let's say 75 years from now, 50, 70 years from now, when abortion, let's say abortion is not the law of the land, and hasn't been for that long of time, then I think that you can look at punishing those who are actively seeking abortion services. But right now, you know, women in our society have, I mean, the women, well, me, I mean, I'm 38. I've never known a time where abortion hasn't been legal in our country. And so I think that women have been victimized in a sense by our culture, by our society, telling them that abortion is normal, that they're not strong enough to be mothers, that they're not strong enough to be parents, and sort of putting them in positions where they feel forced to choose. About 64% of women who have abortion state that they felt forced or coerced into making that decision. And that's not actual choice. So I think that, you know, we will eventually get to a point in our society, probably long after I'm gone, where criminal penalties should be imposed on those seeking abortions. But I don't think initially that is the right response.
Abby, I have a question for you. I should probably know this by this point in my pro-life time as a priest, but do the abortion centers in Alabama have time to appeal, or have they already started to be shut down? In other words, for how long will abortions in Alabama continue?
So they do have time. The act won't go into effect until the fall. So we will, I would say, 100% for sure, see the law enjoined through a lawsuit by some sort of pro-choice group, whether it's National Abortion Federation, Center for Reproductive Choice, NARAL. There will be some group that files a bill, ACLU, to prevent the bill from actually going into law. Hopefully, we will see the Supreme Court sort of take notice. They have failed to cert any of these cases so far at the Supreme Court level, but hopefully we have enough Harvey Bill cases going forward to the Supreme Court that they will have to pay attention and actually revisit the abortion laws at the federal level.
But until the appeal, those abortion centers in Birmingham and Mobile stay open.
Yeah.
Okay. Abby, what do you think of the Catholic bishops? I mean, we're all four of us are Catholics. What do you think of the Catholic bishop response in general, and maybe in particular of the bishops responding to this legislation?
I am really pregnant, so I don't have a very good filter right now, so I'm not sure you want me to answer that as a faithful Catholic. But you know, I think there certainly must be strategy in the pro-life movement. I do believe that. I do believe that. As far as legislation goes, we do have to be strategic. And I have always been a proponent of constitutional legislation. But when you see state after state after state moving forward with similar legislation, heartbeat bill legislation, I think it's time for all people, all pro-life people, all people of faith, certainly all Catholics, to say, hey, you know what? Maybe now is the time. Because when is the time going to be? Right? I mean, exactly. Now is the time to continue to push forward. It's not like there's some rogue state out there that's trying to push forward some bill that no other state is pushing forward. This is a concerted effort, a collaborative effort by multiple states to push this through, to get it to the Supreme Court, to force them to pay attention. And the fact that there are bishops who are pushing against that makes absolutely no sense to me. But a lot of things the bishops do makes absolutely no sense to me. And so I think that it's cowardly. I think that it is based on fear instead of based on courage. And now more than ever is the time that we need our shepherds to step up and lead on this issue and to really be men of courage.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that.
Abby, it sounded like in there, let me get your take on this. Sounds like you're eager for SCOTUS to grant cert on this, that which is interesting. I'm worried that they'll grant cert before we get another couple jurists on the bench. Given current supremacy clause jurisprudence mixed with Roe jurisprudence, there, you know, it doesn't look likely that we can count to five on jurists that will, that would be willing, that would have the political capital and the boldness, intestinal fortitude to knock this thing down. What do you think? I don't think Roberts or Kavanaugh would do it. That's the word around the campfire.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I understand. I don't know that we have the votes right now either. I wouldn't say I'm eager for them to assert it right now, but I would say that, I mean, God, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg still alive? I mean, has anybody even seen that woman in months? I mean,
I think we're living in
Weekend at Bernie's right now. That's what I feel like, too. So I do feel like if we can get a replacement for RBG, I think we'll be sitting much better. I'm with you. I don't know that I trust Kavanaugh to give an
affirmative. Uh-oh, we lost you, Abby.
On this.
There you're back. Oh, wait, you're back. You hear me? You got it. Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Everybody was so pumped about Kavanaugh, and I'm thinking, I don't know. He's not, right. He's not coming across. I mean, I would have rather have seen Amy Barrett.
Amy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, Amy Barrett needs to be the next choice. He needs a woman, and to bypass all this ridiculous, like, sex abuse stuff. He needs a woman, and he needs a nominee who is strong on pro-life issues. I don't think Kavanaugh is. Mm. But I don't know. So I wouldn't say I'm eager for it, but I do think that, if we can at least get one more, I feel hopeful. If we get two more, that would be amazing.
Right.
I think we need two. And I think there are more pro-life candidates out there than Amy Barrett that would be good across the board. I was disappointed, generally speaking, with this last round of the last short list. I'm disappointed with Amy Barrett on other jurisprudence matters. I think we could get. Well, that's a different issue, but except, yeah, I the word around the campfire is definitely Kavanaugh has no interest in overturning Roe. And until then, it's going to be a state's matter, right? Forcing a constitutional crisis, which I support. But where are you on that? What do you think Alabama will do if SCOTUS knocks this down? There's still something to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could, of course, just defy the federal government and say, well, we're not going to do it anyway. That's risky, you know. Louisiana did that with the drinking age, and they're still paying for it. So
yeah, for a time, yeah, they did nullification.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's the right move either. It's complicated. You start defying the federal government, you lose funding, you lose Medicaid funding, you've got medically fragile children who need that health insurance benefit. They don't get it anymore. People start losing jobs. You don't have military access. I mean, it gets complicated. So I don't know that that's the right answer, but then, you know, I don't know if you've got enough states that are willing to do it, then does that sort of force the hand of the federal government? I don't know what the right answer is, but I do think that this is going to be, I do think that abortion in particular, I think that's going to be a deciding factor in most elections going forward for a lot of people. I mean, I'm thankful for all of the media attention that this is getting and just the amount of attention that abortion is getting. Period. You know, that people are actually talking about it, for better or worse, that we're all actually talking about it. And I think that's a good thing.
Abby, do you think how do you think the debate has changed in the last 5 to 10 years? To me, it seems a lot different. On the left, it seems much more aggressive. And it seems on the right, it's becoming more and more natural and normal to speak about it publicly. Is that your take? And why do you think that is?
Yeah, I do. I think, it's been interesting. I've told people, I've been out of the industry for almost 10 years. And when I was at Planned Parenthood, I mean, really, still, even 10 years ago, our talking point was keeping abortion safe, legal, rare, right? That was still the talking point. That started to change a couple years after I left. And we moved away from that language to access. So then it became all about access to abortion, no matter the cost, even at patient safety. We don't have to have doctors performing abortions. A lot of that changed. Then all of a sudden we're shouting our abortions and people are super proud of their abortion. They're wearing t-shirts that say I had an abortion.
Yeah.
It's like everybody became a lot more brazen about their support of abortion. And whereas when I was there, it was more like you really didn't talk about it that much openly. But so much has changed on the left. For sure. And I think there's been sort of I think conservatives are doing a moderately better job at defending their point of view when it comes to abortion. But we still have a long way to go. I feel like everybody who calls themselves pro-life needs to go through a mandatory, like an RCIA, but for the pro-life movement, you have to go through like a pro-life apologetics in order to call yourself pro-life. Cause even with all this stuff going on with the heartbeat bills, I'm getting messages from people like, I don't know what to say to this person. I don't know what to say to this argument. I'm like, come on, like this is pretty basic. So though now, people are starting to realize that they need to have better arguments and their argument cannot be, well, because God is pro-life. Like that's not going to fly when you're actually in a debate. Right. So I hope that this is really opening people's eyes and helping them understand that they do need to be better apologists for the pro-life movement because lives are depending on it. So it actually does matter.
And, Abby, I noticed that, maybe we have 30% of the country pro-life, 30% pro-abortion, 30% kind of that soft underbelly. And one of the things that I noticed with the movie Once Unplanned came out is that soft underbelly started admitting they were more and more squeamish with abortion. One of my family members sent me an article from Vanity Fair. The guy writes for Chicago Tribune, and he just tried to say this was just a movie of propaganda. There were 600 comments under that on the Vanity Fair thing, and most of those said things like, I'm not against abortion in all cases, but a woman has a right to know. And other people said, I'm pro-choice, but this guy's article is bogus because women have a right to know what they're going into with Planned Parenthood. So I've also noticed in the past year, there's a new openness in that kind of middle of the country becoming more and more squeamish, at least with second and third trimester abortions.
Yeah, that's true. And I see that too. I can't remember what it was, but I was watching something and I wish I could find it, but it was some kind of testimony. Somebody was testifying to the reality of second trimester abortion. And the people who were there with Planned Parenthood, okay, like the lobbyists for Planned Parenthood were like grimacing as this person is like sharing what a second trimester abortion is.
Wow.
And I'm like, I think there's just sort of been this out of sight, out of mind mentality. And hopefully, with stories, movies like Unplanned, Gosnell, you've got people like Dr. Anthony Leventino, Dr. John Murkowski, these former abortion doctors coming forward, our workers coming forward, and then there were none. They're really exposing the truth behind what has been so sanitized by the liberal media and normalized.
That's right.
You know, it's hard to, and I agree with you. I mean, there was an article about Unplanned that came out on Variety, and the comments were like bashing the author. Cause of course the author was, you know, all, oh, this movie is, you know, ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. But these people were coming on there, like bashing the author, saying, look, I'm pro-choice, but what you're saying abortion is not accurate. Like, be honest about what abortion is. You know, it is bloody. It is difficult. It is painful. It is taking a life. I mean, like, don't try to make it something that it's not. Like, be honest. And there were a lot of people who were commenting on that article, that Variety article, that was like, they were like, you know, the fact that you're being so dishonest in this article actually makes me believe that everything in the movie is true.
Actually, I meant Variety, not Vanity Fair. That's right. It's the same. We're talking about the same one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it was pretty amazing to see people sort of coming to the defense of the movie, like even pro-choice people.
And, you know, they tried that 20 years ago. I don't know if you remember Naomi Wolf, actually. She worked for Al Gore, and she came out and said, look, we just can't fight the advances in neonatology anymore and actually say this isn't murder. So let's take the approach the Japanese have to say it's a necessary evil. Well, Planned Parenthood didn't like that very much. They kind of, you know, covered over that 20 years ago, but it seems to be bubbling up again that we just can't deny this is murder. Even the left is slowly admitting that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they have to, because there's too many women who have had abortions coming forward saying, this was my abortion experience. It wasn't what they told me it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then what do? You don't believe those women? They're out there saying, believe women, trust women. So here you got all these women coming forward and sharing their stories. And they're like, well, not those women. Don't believe those women, right? I mean,
believe certain women. Yeah.
Yeah, only believe certain women if they fall within our agenda, you know?
Abby, in your penultimate response, it made me think of something that that you'd said in response to my first question. Women shouting their abortion, believe all women, believe certain women. Same thing here. The women that are shouting their abortions, are these victims too? Because you said in response to me that I don't know, what was it, all women or some women are victims of abortion? All babies are victim of abortion. Is it all or some women are victims of abortion? Because shouting their abortions, and even the very fact of just, we know what their intent is. It's get this thing out of me, kill this thing. How, you know, is it all or some women that are victim of abortion?
No, I think almost all women are, even the ones that are shouting their abortion, because no matter what, abortion's not normal. It's not mentally healthy. And I would, most of the time, I mean, these women that I talk to who are out there, you know, shouting their abortion, there's so much hurt in their soul and in their heart. That hurt turns to anger. They just don't see it. They don't see the difference. And it's a defense mechanism for them. I mean, I can tell you, in my 8 years of working at Planned Parenthood, there was one time in my 8 years where a woman came in and was just so incredibly flippant about having an abortion. Every other woman, she may have been shouting her abortion later, but when she came into that clinic, she was vulnerable. She was scared. Many times she was alone. And we did everything we could to exploit that vulnerability and to essentially abuse that. And so when we do things that are wrong, we know they're wrong, then we sort of double down to try to make it right in our own minds. And I think that's really where this whole shout your abortion campaign is coming from. They're just trying to make it right.
Abby, what do you think the difference is? This is Taylor. What do you think the difference is between some of the women who have had abortions and have a conversion and then others who go to shout it out. What's the difference between, you know, the people who say, I had this, it was a horrible experience, it's wrong, they're outspoken about it, and then the other people who are just double down?
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of it's personality, you know. I think some of it is outside influences, you know, who they're hanging out with, who's in their ear talking to them. You know, sometimes it depends on whether or not they actually admit that they need help or not after the abortion, and where they go to for that help. If they go back to the abortion clinic, they're going to be laughed at and told, you're fine, you'll get over it. If they go to a place like a pregnancy center or a church or something like that, they're going to actually, hopefully, get healing and be plugged into healing resources. You know, some of it is foundational, how we were raised. You know, I can tell you when, you know, I mean, I had two abortions. I was at Planned Parenthood. I mean, I used those two experiences to help convince other women to have abortions. Yeah, I knew internally that, you know, that what I had done had not been a normal thing to do. But here I was working in the abortion industry, so I had to make it okay in my mind, in my head. And then trying to drag other people into this sinking boat that you're on, that's really par for the course when you're sort of living in hurt and sin and denial.
Hey, I have to break in here. This is apropos. We're on the line with Abby Johnson. And just now, Planned Parenthood, it seems, filed suit against state of Alabama, ABC reports.
There you go.
So, how apropos.
You called it, Abby. You called it right before it happened.
There you go. Yeah, so that'll go to court, and then the court will decide whether it can move forward or whether it will be enjoined. So,
Abby, what do you say to the Republicans? This is Father Dave. What do you say to the Republicans who say that now is not the time to overturn Roe versus Wade?
Okay, I think the return question then is, well, then when is the time? I mean, when are all the moons and stars going to be lined up so perfectly for them that we can actually make this happen? Now, if they're making a Supreme Court jurist argument, I can get behind that. I can understand that. But this whole idea, I mean, look, we've got, you know, I'm not knocking Donald Trump or anything. I'm thankful for the work that he's done. But then he goes on like an idiot on Twitter. Well, he's usually an idiot on Twitter, but he goes on this like an idiot on Twitter and says, you know, well, you know, I'm very pro-life, except in cases of rape, incest, life of the mother, right? Yep. And I'm like, oh, like, shut up. Like, why? It's like the president, who's supposedly just the most pro-life president we've ever had, doesn't even understand the very fundamentals about the right to life argument. And then you've got all these conservatives that are defending him.
Like Pat Robertson.
Yes. Oh, somebody please take that guy's mic away. Like, oh my gosh, that should have been gone like 20 years ago.
Well, and then President Trump said this was the position of Reagan, and that was slightly erroneous because that was his position in the 70s, but he changed it in the 80s to not include this exception to rape and incest.
Right.
That's right. And he said one of the biggest regrets of his life was defending those exceptions. It's like, what is he doing? And so then you've got, you know, conservatives divided. It makes no sense. It's back to that, like, pro-life 101. Is it an innocent baby in the womb or is it not? Sure. I remember when I worked at Planned Parenthood, my husband was actually laughing the other day. He goes, I remember, Abby, when you worked at Planned Parenthood He said, I remember when you would hear pro-lifers talk about these like rape and incest exceptions. And he said, I remember so specifically you saying these pro-lifers cannot figure out if it's a baby or if it's not a baby.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, if a Planned Parenthood director can see the hypocrisy in that, how is it that our own president, our own movement, our own conservative government cannot see that hypocrisy?
Absolutely.
So it's just, you know, I'm like, it's time. We've been fighting this for a long time. We've been taking all these, you know, step by step by step, you know, baby step, baby step, baby step. We haven't really gone anywhere. And I think, you know, now is the time, and people need to come together on this issue.
Absolutely.
And they need to be fighting for the rights of all children in the womb, not just some. If we only fight for some, we're headed down a very dangerous road that looks like eugenics.
And that's right. And then we put politics ahead of biology, because ultimately this all comes down to, does life begin at conception or not?
Yeah, that's it. It's so simple. That's it.
Very simple.
Yep. All right, Abby Johnson, thanks for being a hero and a leader in this movement. And we appreciate you for all that you've done and all the people you inspired.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right. Abby, Father Dave, you want to close us in a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, blessed Trinity, we love you. We thank you. We ask, Blessed Mother, that you would wrap your mantle around Abby as she approaches giving birth to her child. And Lord, we just entrust this entire nation to your Sacred Heart and to the Immaculate Heart of your Mother, begging for the end of this great Holocaust that has taken so many millions of lives. Thank you for these leaders. We ask, Almighty God, that you would unite us under your precious blood. We give you all the glory as we pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, Abby, all the best on your delivery.
All right. Thank you guys so much. So have a great day.